morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, May 11th, 2017. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everyone. It is a very pleasant 50 degrees. And all the leaves are popping on all the plants. But partly cloudy here in upstate New York. I just looked at the radar map, and it looks like there's quite a bit of rain coming from down below. I don't know, maybe Ohio blowing across this way. So maybe that's why it feels so springy. But that's okay, because it's not smelling like snow anymore. So where do we leave off on Tuesday? We had a little bit of a technical issue. Actually, let's stop here for a minute. So I woke up yesterday morning and apologized for not being here yesterday to be told that we had Microsoft updates that happened overnight. And what happened to one of our main servers that does all of our back-end streaming and archiving and everything is that it never woke back up after Microsoft did its update. Hard drive completely went kaput. Machine was dead on arrival. And that is, I'm going to say, the second time now in the last year that that has happened to one of the machines here. They do an update, and then the machine never comes back, and it's completely dead forever and ever. So I want to say a huge, massive, massive thank you to Otto and Gringo in chat, Lone. I wish I could go through, like, all the list of all the people who have, Cracker, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, please, sorry if I don't remember, there was a list of people, Hopper, Amazon, people that have helped out. Guys, you really helped us out, because what happened yesterday, last time we had a crash, we got a couple little servers here for replacement, and the software that does all of our back ending, unfortunately, only runs up to Windows 7. So on top of everything else yesterday, we had to go buy the main piece of software that archives everything so you guys can hear it later and allows us to broadcast. That was a $325 piece of software. Absolutely not something that I've been planning on having to deal with this week. Some of you know there's all kinds of other things going on here. So this was just like something that almost seemed like it was a sign that UCY was going to go into the sunset. But you guys saved the network. So I just want to say, if it wasn't, like I've told you many times, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be here. None of us would be here. And yesterday, you helped me pull that one out of the coals. It took 6 hours, but it's up and running. And I have a plan for next time. You know, I wouldn't be a good network engineer if I wasn't doing contingency planning. So I guess I decided we'll get one more hard drive and we'll try and fix one of these old machines that have blown up. And I'm going to make it a hot spare since I have now a copy of this software that I can't use for Windows 7. I'll make it a hot spare. We'll install everything on it. And then any of the four machines dies, we just fire that puppy up and no 6 hours of crap. So anyway, very long story. The network is back up and running. Thanks to my husband. Good thing he was here, too. He has a big change starting Monday. First time in 15 years he will be going into the office. So things are going to be quite a bit different for us. But anyway, good thing he was home this week on his in-between, his old job and this new one, to even be able to react to this. So very, very, very long story to say a big thank you. But thank you again. So anyway, where do we leave off on Tuesday? We titled the show DNA CRISPR 21st Century Cures DARPA Brains and AI. And I hate to say it, but those were all pretty generic terms. But we covered so much ground on Tuesday that I kind of had to keep it generic to sort of at least get the gist of what the show was about. But yesterday, I was able to air while we were trying to get the new server up and running. We have a thing where we can upload actually to the stream provider and I can put MP3s in there. So we were able to air that Annie Jacobson interview that I talked about a number of times, and thank God I had it sitting on the server for someday when I'd be able to air it. It was an hour discussing the Pentagon, no, DARPA, the Pentagon's brain. And that is Annie Jacobson's investigative book looking into what DARPA is doing, all of the crazy technologies that they are creating, and how it is being all funded by the military-industrial complex. It's very surprising. Any of you that have listened to this show for a while now and have gotten a flavor of kind of my red button topics, I'm sure if you were listening to that interview yesterday, you were thinking to yourself, wow, Jewel and this chick would probably have some pretty good conversations. And I got to say, like, I would give anything to be able to interview her and pick her brain about some of the technologies that we've looked at here. And even George Church, I know a bunch of you, the George Church lecture was the day before. Some of you were able to get it on the archive the day after they had archived the they had archived his lecture. And again, in the hour that he spoke, anyone who's listened to the show says, wow, Jewel's been right on the ball because we've been following Georgie Church. And guys, the frightening thing is we have two people here who I respect for their knowledge, people who have dug deep, people who have done lots and lots and lots of investigating into quote-unquote mysteries, whether it be of the mind or of the genes or creating the synthetic human genome or, I don't know, recreating the woolly mammoth, bringing back to life, you know, those types of things. But these are people that I respect as far as their ability to investigate things, and it frightens me that these two individuals that we've heard over the last couple days have been echoing everything that we have been digging up and discussing all the same kinds of issues. And, you know, good old Georgie, he's all pro, but Georgie Porgie Church is going to make it happen, even though he's pro or con. So we read right at the end of the show on Tuesday. It's always so hard to get back into the swing once I haven't been on air in the middle of a long week of stuff that we've been talking about. There was another expert that stepped up out of the blue and started warning, just like Elon Musk and Stephen Hawking, about the dangers of artificial intelligence. Now, we better be careful what we ask for with this new superintelligence. And there is a professor, I mentioned this as well on Tuesday, out of UC Berkeley, if I'm not mistaken, who taught for 40 years and had gone into retirement. And now Google has managed to entice him to come out of a retirement and help them build their next generation data center for their DeepMind project. They have this brand new chip that is going to allow them to physically double their computing power, i.e. their brain power, and start crunching numbers. And they're getting one of the industry's greats to step out. Meet the 69-year-old professor who left retirement to help lead one of Google's most crucial projects. Professor David Patterson retired from UC Berkeley last summer. And I'm going to point out something else. You know, we found out in research that UC Berkeley is sitting right below Lawrence Livermore Laboratory. Lawrence Livermore Laboratory, of course, is where IBM sent their brand new supercomputer for them to play with. Lawrence Livermore is also where they started cooking up a lot of the Manhattan Project. And, you know, this University of California system has been tied to the military-industrial complex for a very long time. So it makes you wonder, this guy was a professor in computer science, computer architecture, very prestigious career, right near Lawrence Livermore Laboratory. I could almost bet that he knows a lot about a lot of things that the majority of the public does not. And now Google is going to bring him into the fold. Google, who is gearing up to want to treat and cure your mental health. Google with their Verily Health Sciences division. Google with all of the tentacle arms from DARPA that have now slipped inside. We we have to worry about what's going on here, guys. This Annie Jacobson had talked about the academic military industrial complex, and I was very surprised when she brought that up, because I'd only really kind of come to that conclusion maybe a month or two before with a name to it. But we had been seeing that all this sprinkle funding that DARPA is handing out for this mad science gone mad is going to many of these universities to use our children's brains to help develop the newest way to enslave humanity. It's very frightening. You know, now they also have the hospitals involved. You know, they probably started that through the university system as well. It's like a lot of the hospitals have like their research division that starts at the university, and then they have a hospital attached to it for doing quote unquote all their clinical trials. And we see this 21st Century Cures Act that's marching out, and neural dust and zippity zap and vagus nerves and electrocranial stimulation, all in the name of curing you. And I'm not saying, honestly, that all of this technology is crackpotty, because it's not. And I mean, a lot of this I can absolutely see how it could be beneficial, how it could be curing, how it could be amazing, like Star Trek. But the problem is whose hands this technology is in. See, the military-industrial complex does not give two shits about you or Nana or Johnny or Susie or Spot. They just don't. But we are the ones that they want to use as the guinea pigs, and that's the thing. This is all about battlefield technology and being able to manipulate and control, being able to gain the upper hand, and we are willingly participating. So anyway, back to this. Professor David Patterson retired from UC Berkeley last summer after 40 years with an academic career in computer architecture. He's now part of a team behind a critical chip that Google uses for their artificial intelligence processing. And without this chip, Google top executives estimated it would have to double its data center to support even a limited amount of this new voice processing. Gonna give it. We gave him senses. Now we're going to give him the ability to communicate. A year ago, the University of California, Berkeley hosted a retirement celebration for David Patterson and was hanging up after 40 years in an academic career in computer architecture. Patterson encored the event last May with a personal 16-minute history chronicling his days, starting from high school and college, and then a math major at UCLA. Then he worked at Hughes Aircraft for four decades at Berkeley. From writing two books with Stanford University's John Hennessy to chairing the Computer Researching Association, Patterson told the audience that his key to success was doing one big thing at a time, and his next big thing could be enormous. Rather than hitting the beach after retirement, Patterson has now joined Google to work on an ambitious new chip that is designed to run at least 10 times faster than today's processors and is sophisticated enough to handle the intensive computations required for artificial intelligence. It is called Tensor Processing Unit, or TPU for short, and Patterson has emerged as one of its principal evangelists. He spoke to about 100 students and faculty members at Berkeley last Wednesday, a few days shy of the anniversary of his retirement celebration. 4 years ago, they had this worry, and it went to the top of the corporation, says Patterson, while sporting a T-shirt for Google's brain, the company's research group. The fear was that if every Android user had 3 minutes of conversation translated a day. Ding, 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 Google's translation tool. Remember, this is this sneaky little way that they've been able to build this artificial intelligence and grab our conversations and scrape them and get their meaning. We had Kurzweil was working on a lot of that. And remember now, Google's Verily Life Sciences Division with Tarmi Insel, former director of the National Institute of Mental Health, is discovering ways to use our voice from our cell phones to diagnose mental disease. Remember, wink. So it was a fear that if every Android user, because yes, we're going to be surveilling all of you, had 3 minutes of conversation, quote unquote, translated a day using Google's machine learning technology, we would have to double our data center. So don't worry about it, because he's coming out of retirement now to help Google come up with a new chip so they can surveil 3 minutes of our voice, everyone who uses an Android. Oh, across the globe. Google's parent company, Alphabet, already spends about $10 billion a year on capital expenses, largely tied to its data center costs. And now it is addressing what it calls a, quote, renaissance in machine learning, unquote, right? And they're not going to be feeding us grapes, trust me. Deep neural networks are modeled to learn and get smarter over time as the data set gets bigger, i.e., as we feed them more data and we feed the machine. And it requires big breakthroughs in hardware efficiency. Patterson, who gave the same talk at Stanford on Thursday, was among the lead author on a report from Google last month on the TPU's performance. The report concluded that the TPU is running 15 to 30 times faster and 30 to 80 times faster than more efficient than contemporary processors from Intel and some of Silicon Valley's biggest darling, NVIDIA. We talked about them making VPUs. They were the video card manufacturer back in the days when I was a tech. And they were pretty high end, but they have really moved to the forefront where they have taken now those visual processing units for doing high-end graphics, and they have turned them into robot googly eyes and processors to help build these supercomputers that have all kinds of extra senses that can make them super smart. Paper written by 75 engineers will be delivered next month at the International Symposium on Computer Architecture in Toronto, Canada. The report was Patterson's debut project at Google. And once a week, he treks down to the Mountain View headquarters, and twice a week, he works at the company's office in San Francisco. He reports to Jeff Dean, an 18-year Google veteran and the head of Google Brain. And this is not Patterson's first gig at Google either. He worked there while on an academic sabbatical from 2013 to 2014. It was interesting, that academic sabbatical. Annie Jacobson had mentioned the Jason scientists back in the past. This was this board of scientists that helped advise the Department of Defense on some of these highly technical issues, medical issues, biological issues. And they always kind of had a little sense of morality, she found. It was typically the scientists and from within DARPA who were protesting about things that maybe weren't as ethical as they should have been. But those Jason scientists have gotten replaced in the recent past, and they are now being advised by industry lobbyists. People from the military-industrial complex are advising the military-industrial complex what weapons they should be buying and developing in their next round of funding. So we don't even have scientists anymore that are going, hey, this might not be such a good idea. Now we have people who will be profiting from the war machine who are advising the war machine. But one of the ways that those Jason scientists used to get together was that they would take little sabbaticals at the summer and go meet up for a few weeks at a little, you know, ranch or something, who knows, and have conversations about, you know, some of the new technologies that should be developed. Well, interestingly, that 2013-14, Patterson took a little sabbatical and went to go work for a company that we tend to think, at least some people do, people who aren't paying attention, is innocuous. Google, wink. But Google is a part of this military, corporate, academic, medical, industrial complex now. Don't forget that. And everything we do, everything we interact with, everything we say now is being big tagged and tracked. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And now that we have these TPUs, look out. This is going to be scraping our voice. And I'm pretty certain if I had to roll a pair of dice and put some money down on something, I would say that this is all about that being able to diagnose mental disease just by the sound of your voice and Tommy's incels big project somewhere along the way. Anyway, this time when he took that little sabbatical, he joined the TPU project as a distinguished engineer a year after the chips were first put into use in Google's data center, just 2 months after his retirement party. Patterson never sat idle. 2013, while still teaching, he was participating in a powerlifting competition, which, you know, do we really care? But now that I think back, there was no evidence for the assumption that his retiring was an exception, except it was called in a retirement celebration, said one of his students back from 1987. Google says the TPU is being tested broadly across the company, wink, so it's not just going to be for the deep brain. It is being used for every search query, which we learned way back when is now being run on the AI machine as well. And for improving your maps, yes, let's make sure GPS, remember, was a DARPA invention, we found out, from Annie Jacobson. So let's make sure we have your location turned on your phone so we know where to drop the laser, the laser beam. And it was the technology used to power DeepMind's AlphaGo victory, which we also read about, where it beat the champion in Seoul, South Korea last year. Don't expect Google to compete in the semiconductor market against the likes of Intel or NVIDIA, though. Outside developers who want the sort of performance that Google processors can offer have to turn to the company's cloud computing service. So you're going to have to buy it from Google, like TensorFlow and their open source library for machine learning workloads. We found that, too. You're going to be able to be doing Google Vision in the cloud, I think, is what we were reading about a few days back. It's going to get bigger, and Google is not going to give this away. This is the military-industrial complex. It's integrated itself within a corporation, and it's getting bigger, more pulsating, and scarier by the day. I don't know how much more we want to read of this. I can say, says Patterson, Google isn't resting. It was a good experience, and they didn't get a give up, and nobody got laid off. And guess what? Now Google is keeping quiet, just like they usually do about its most cutting edge projects. And this is one of them. And I'm going to tell you, I bet you that's what it's for. Diagnosing the sound of your voice to determine whether or not you have a disease. So we talked about DARPA. DARPA is planning to hack the human brain to upload skills. We have Google, who is developing a deep brain. Remember, the AI projects all around are being developed by using knowledge that they learn about the human brain. We also found out that the military is using human brain waves as they are scanning the brain waves of people who are shooting, let's say. They are able to not only track your brain waves, but also track your eye movements. And they are mimicking those with the machine to make robots more accurate in shooting. Of course, the use for this would be for the battlefield, maybe even eventually when they decide that they're going to set Atlas out on the streets, maybe as a UN peacekeeper or in the police department. We also found out that DARPA, same difference, DARPA has an RFP out looking for portable brain recording devices and applications, EEGs, and they eventually want to get them into every classroom and home for around the cost of $30 a pop. No, come on. When we start looking the writing on the wall here, it starts to look kind of like we are tra-la-laing down a path to our own extinction. We are giving up, and we've spoken about this many times before, chinks in the armor, things that have allowed us to maintain our autonomy, things that have allowed us to be who we are. You know, all you got to do is not show any expressions and don't say anything. Don't do anything weird. Nobody will know. Except it's not the case anymore. We have all kinds of remote sensing, all kinds of artificial intelligence that is back-ending this technology. Remember, being able to tell whether or not you are lying or your hidden emotions just by having AI look at your hidden facial expressions. We also had the EEG-based emotion recognition. I started reading about this on Tuesday, where they literally can classify your emotions, something that the military has been working on for a very long time, just by being able to get a scan of your brainwaves. Well, don't worry about it, because it gets even worse. We found out there was a wireless and mobile EEG system called BioRadio that will allow them in real time to be able to view and scan your analysis to be able to differentiate between your different brainwaves, alpha, beta, theta, delta, and gamma, and then export these into a spreadsheet, woohoo, for data collection and databasing. See, and this is where this all ties back to that 399S section of the 21st Century Cures Act. It talks about the national neurological surveillance of mental disorders. And that was just passed in December 2016. Guys, they are moving toward being able to monitor us and tell on the fly as part of 21st century medicine whether or not you're having a synapse misfire. And then maybe they can dispatch the drones or, I don't know, get a gut bacteria to start pumping out some type of new drug in your gut to be able to tamp down on a little bit of anger and anxiety to make you all better, Johnny. And guys, we really are getting to the point now. We got to be careful. I still never got back to some of the weird things I was finding about this new gut bacteria that they're putting into all kinds of commercial foods that use the spore technology versus being a bacteria. It's actually a spore, like a fungus that seeds your gut, even though it is a bacteria, but it's a spore bacteria. And the other bacteria that do things like that are anthrax. But the spore bacteria that they're putting into like teas and things of that nature and going, oh, look, it's good for you. It's got probiotics. Be careful what you are ingesting. Read the package and look up the names of what it is so you can understand if it's been manipulated in some way. But I have a really bad feeling when we started reading a while back in the MIT Technology Review about Bill and Melinda Gates investing in a company that was making genetically modified gut bacteria that then could produce medications, quote unquote, medications and substances in your gut as a part of therapeutics. That's frightening to me because it's almost like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. We know that DARPA spent a lot of time studying the connection between gut bacteria and the brain and the influence that gut bacteria can have on the brain and how to manipulate brain chemicals with gut bacteria as well. You know, all they got to do now is get that gut bacteria into you. And we have a whole army of zombies. And, you know, with all this tinkering that they are doing, and Georgie Porgy Church is creating these little biofactories and stuff with this little Weiss Institute. I don't know, they got this big, I don't remember, $40 million grant from DARPA to be able to create this biomanufacturing. I am going to say proceed with caution. Read everything. Read all the labels and start reading up against some of this stuff. Now listen to this. To add insult to injury, so of course another big project, how DARPA really got into the brain project of his course was to cure our soldiers coming back from the war amphitheater. We also found out in that lecture, if you listen to it, George Church is involved with the Brain Project as well as creating the synthetic human genome and bringing back the woolly mammoth and creating synthetic, I don't know, it's just so, I can't even believe it. CRISPRing, he was the CRISPR dude, CRISPRing embryos, talking about congenital defects, all kinds, and he's part of that human pig xenotransplantation project where they are humanizing pig cells to create transplant organs for humans, making chimeras. Yes, 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 all the same individuals. Well, listen to this. This just came out 2 days ago, May 9th, 2017. Again, one of my favorite publications back from the 80s, Scientific American. Highly recommended. If you guys don't subscribe to that, The publication itself, the hard copy, is pretty expensive. I can't afford it anymore. Years ago, it was $100 a year. I don't know what it is now, but it's good. They still have free stuff on their website, but highly recommend it. It gets into a lot of nitty-gritty scientific detail, but really gives you a window into some of the research that's going on. Well, listen to this. A shot, i.e. a vaccine, against post-traumatic stress disorder. Step right up, Johnny. Get your little painless patch. We are going to use a jet injection. We talked about that. Needles are going away as well, and they're going to be able to do it right through the skin, right through the epidermis. But they now have a vaccination, they think, against post-traumatic stress disorder. How long is it going to be before it's depression or bipolar or anything else that they are working on diagnosing, looking at your mental state? This is tweaking the gut microbiome. Might hold promise for fighting stress and anxiety as well. Ho-ho, they are. They are going after the microbiome, i.e. your gut bacteria, to treat mental disease. And I knew it. I knew it. And here it comes. Each night before Greg, quote unquote, not his real name, goes to bed, he brushes and flosses his teeth. Then he double checks the instructions on the dark brown bottle his nurse gave him before he unscrews the cap and tips 5 drops of a light amber oily liquid onto a spoon. The brew, glistening from the light of the bathroom fixture, is tasteless and has no odor he can detect, but it is chock full of bacteria. He sloshes the substance around in his mouth and he swallows, and Greg hopes that while he sleeps, these foreign microbes will wage war with the organisms in his gut, changing that environment to ultimately help him manage some of his post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms that cloud his mind and riddle his days and nights with nightmares, flashbacks, thoughts of suicide, and irrational responses to stressful events. The bacteria he is swallowing, as doctors tell him, quote, may help reduce the symptoms of stress. Now, I'm going to tell you that again, like all these technologies, I am not saying that these aren't good technologies. This gut bacteria thing I've been onto for a long time, and I will 100% get behind being able to make yourself feel happier, make yourself feel better, make yourself not feel in the dumps by making sure that you have some of the good lactobacillus bacteria in your gut. Remember, when you eat foods that have glyphosate on them, when we look back at Dr. Huber way back when, he had talked about glyphosate being quite a potent antibiotic, and he found in his research, and he was doing this for 50 years, this guy, he was involved with Plum Island and animal and plant diseases and biowarfare, so he totally knows what he's talking about, and he found a big issue with glyphosate, and that was that glyphosate killed beneficial bacteria, not just in the soil of the plants that it was sprayed upon, but also in the organisms who ingested the food that was sprayed with this glyphosate. And that gut bacteria that it kills tends to be the good beneficial gut bacteria in your gut, allowing the bad gut bacteria to proliferate. So there's a big problem. Now, a while back, I had run across, probably last summer, the summer before, some research on a lactobacillus bacteria that they had found when given to autistic children. Those children actually were able to overcome a lot of their issues with anxiety and social interaction issues, oxytocin production, and it brought them really out of their shell. And a lot of the kids, you couldn't even tell that they had autistic issues after they were taking this. This is this Lactobacillus reuteri. And by the way, I just ordered some of this, so I'll let you know because I'm going to try it and see what it's like. But it comes from milk. I made sure I found one that was not some sort of splice and dice genetically modified version, but this is exactly what they are using for this PTSD. Each drop of Greg's brew is filled with millions of Lactobacillus reuteri. a bacterium isolated and derived from human breast milk. Now, this is another one. Because remember, I was telling you, too, I started messing with that lactoferrin, which is something else that they had isolated from breast milk. Lactoferrin kicks your immune system into high gear and allows you not only to combat bacteria, but also funguses and viruses. And I got to tell you, I have had a weak immune system for many years. I told you they messed around with me and gave me all kinds of autoimmune diseases back starting in college. It all started. And I'm pretty good now, but I went through about 20 years of all kinds of weird bouts of all these weird things, my body attacking itself. I was very sick for a long time. And I got that under control now, but a lot of that I was able to get under control by getting rid of the junk out of my diet. Any type of processed foods or any type of fast foods, which all contain antibiotics, which, again, antibiotics in your meat are going to cause your gut bacteria to die, or something that's a potent antibiotic like glyphosate that's going to kill all your beneficial bacteria that then not only affects your mental state but also affects your immune system. Your gut bacteria is very, very important to having a healthy immune system. But funny, it all comes back to substances and breast milk. And now they are telling mothers that, you know, breastfeeding maybe isn't the best thing for the baby because it interferes with the childhood vaccines. I mean, honestly, you know, if it's interfering with the childhood vaccines, maybe they shouldn't be getting them because mama's breast milk is the way nature had intended. And that does pass along the immune system from the mother, as well as many other things like lactoferrin and lactobacillus reuteri. The Denver VA hospital, which is interesting that it's in Denver, a lot of the military industrial complex is up there in Colorado, orders the substance and then is now prescribing it as part of this PTSD clinical trial involving 40 veterans who either receive a placebo or the bacteria. The bacterium is also currently used to treat a dental condition called chronic periodontitis because it has also been shown to help fight inflammation. And I'm going to say it's going to be all kinds of other things besides periodontitis or periodontal disease because inflammation, as we have learned, is the root cause of the majority of disease in the human body. That is the key. Things like turmeric and ginger as well bring inflammation down. You always want to keep down inflammation. If you're starting to feel puffy, that means you better start doing something. Even some tea, green teas help bring that inflammation down because that's where your body starts to spiral out of control. In altering the immune system to help build resilience to stressful events, they found a roundabout way to fight PTSD. And despite the massive burden of this disorder, there are very few treatments, and remember, DARPA was talking about brain implants at one point to do this. I think I'd rather be taking some lactobacillus reuteri instead of getting my brain implant. There are very few treatments for many of its crushing symptoms. I think they were also looking at transcranial stimulation as well. More than the 2 million troops deployed by U.S. military conflicts worldwide is estimated 11 to 23% have sustained some level of traumatic brain injury or PTSD. Greg, whose name has been changed to protect his identity, is among them. He served in Operation Iraqi Freedom and it comes back to Iraq again and was injured when the vehicle he was in was detonated a roadside improvised explosive device, killing several of his comrades and leaving him with a badly wounded leg, a traumatic brain injury, and a constellation of symptoms that comprised PTSD. And with few options available after he tried a variety of mental health therapies, last year he and 39 other veteran volunteers, all suffering from PTSD, and being treated at Rocky Mountain MIRECC for Veteran Suicide Prevention in Denver, volunteered to be part of an early clinical trial to determine if L-reuteri can reduce their psychological and physiological responses to stressful situations. Roughly $200,000 trial is funded by the Department of Veteran Affairs, is aimed at evaluating the feasibility, acceptability, tolerability, and safety measures for the possible use of the bacterium to treat PTSD. The bacterium was chosen after earlier animal trials suggested it produced anxiety-fighting responses. And last year, a team of researchers at the University of Colorado Boulder found that injecting this beneficial bacteria into mice helped them become more resilient to stress. And in that study, the scientists injected the healthy mice with a heat-killed preparation of Mycobacterium vaccae, which, like L-reuteri, acts as a drug modulating the mouse's immune system. The injected mice exhibited less anxiety or fear-like behaviors. Now, think about this one. If they can make us get rid of our fear response, and we found out through Annie Jacobson's research that there was an issue at the Department of Defense where they were looking at whether or not robots can be ethical or have morals, and they determined no. And then they started a research project on how to bring about trust, because people don't trust robots. People don't trust DARPA. And they talked about pushing that oxytocin button. That oxytocin button is one that is, again, from the mother to the child. When the mother is breastfeeding, the mother produces oxytocin. That's that love chemical. That's a trust chemical. Guys, this is sounding very nefarious to me. Like I said, I would absolutely say Lactobacillus reuteri might be beneficial for a lot of us, you know, especially some of us that have issues with stress, like me. I've always had a stress issue. And stress is not good for you. Stress damages the physical body. But on the other hand, if you can use Lactobacillus reuteri to get rid of fear-like behaviors and to help spur the creation of oxytocin, get us to embrace the machine, get us to be calm versus being stressed out and wanting to rebel. Guys, I see that, you know, they always come and they say, look, it's a gift. Look at this wonderful research. But it's always a double-edged sword. And the fact that they can manipulate your brain chemicals just with some sort of simple gut bacteria that can be put into food or whatever should be a caution to you. Always read the label. Always know who you're getting your stuff from. The injected mice exhibited less anxiety and fear-like behaviors and behaved more proactively around aggressors than those in a control group, which had to make do without the shots. Vaccinated mice's amplified calm, made sense biochemically. The researchers discovered that the gut-altered mice had more of a substance called TPH2, an enzyme involved in the biosynthesis of the calming neurotransmitter called serotonin. In the brain, the bacterial brew provided another benefit to the gut as well. Biopsy showed that the injected mice were 50% less likely to suffer stress-induced colitis, as measured by cellular damage to the colon. And I'm going to say the colitis reduction was because that reduced inflammation. And that's what it says. And they had less system-wide inflammation. The study was hailed as a major breakthrough and named among the top 10 advancements and breakthroughs of 2016 by a leading non-governmental funder of mental health research, which is the Brain and Behavior Research Foundation. You see how all these dots are coming together? Because I'm seeing all these organizations are in one big happy circle. And even though these little bits and pieces on the surface level don't seem like they're connected, they absolutely are. There is a growing recognition that the microbiome can impact health and in general, more specifically mental health, says clinician Jeffrey Borstein, the organization's president. This mouse work can potentially be a game changer in our understanding of this and ultimately lead to new treatments. We're not going to talk about poop. That's the next section. Answers from poop. But Google wants your poop as well, remember? We read that the other day. The foundation's work behind this study is very provocative because it validates the concept of immunizing against a variety of stress-related disorders. Remember, this can be really good for the Department of Defense to make sure little Soldier Johnny, Corporal Johnny, Private Johnny doesn't get stressed out on the battlefield. So make sure you take a little bit of this L-Ruteroy before you go out there and start shooting with your AI-assisted targeting system that we're working on developing as well. The findings, he says, suggest that there may be a promising way to help fight anxiety and stress among patients. Now, continuing along the brain, they have also found, and we saw this the other day, that they can use light optogenetics to be able to manipulate the brain. We found just with lasers, they can turn mice and rats into killing machines. They can push that little button that makes them predators, makes them start chomping at the bit, and makes them want to kill anything that gets in their way. Well, they now have discovered that they can use light as well to monitor and activate specific brain cells. Remember, as they are starting to decode how all these neuron works, and they're building little mini brain balls. And they are doing all types of EEG and brain scanning and trying to create a synthetic brain, all in the name of artificial intelligence. Again, chinks in the human armor are being exposed, and they are learning to manipulate every bit and piece of biology. Past several years have brought two parallel revolutions in neuroscience. Researchers have begun using genetically encoded sensors to monitor the behavior of individual neurons, and they've been using brief pulses of light to trigger certain types of neurons to activate. Remember, too, we had started reading about that neural dust. That's going to be exactly what this is all about. Little neural dust boats that can be implanted all inside your nervous system to be able to monitor, bag and tag real time, even inside of the brain. The last several years have brought two parallel revolutions in neuroscience. Researchers have begun using genetically encoded sensors to monitor the behavior of individual neurons, and they have been using brief pulses of light to trigger certain types of neurons to activate. These two techniques are collectively known as ding 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 optogenetics, the science that uses light to read and activate genetically specified neurons. But until recently, most researchers have always used them separately. Though many have tried, no one had succeeded in combining optogenetics readout and stimulation into one unified system that worked in the brains of living animals, living, soon to be humans. But now a team led by Michael Hauser, a neuroscientist at the University of College London, has succeeded in creating such a unified optogenetic input-output system. Now, guys, that was very critical. Input-output. Remember, Elon Musk now is working on his Neuralink as well. This is going to be to give us a high-def output of the brain to the machine. We also found out that DARPA is looking for ways to not only zippity-zap to accelerate learning, but also to upload that learning to the cloud, so others will be able to download your learning system, your learning zippity zaps that they can then put a helmet on and blah, 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 and you'll be able to gain their knowledge. Guys, this is not science fiction anymore. This is going on. There is huge amounts of funding that is being dumped into all of this. They are utilizing 21st Century Cures Act now to roll this out to all Americans. It's not just going to be to soldiers. And listen to this. Speaking of precision medicine, we used to have the cohort program, right? Give a DNA swab, put it in the database, check that box so we can use you for research. Well, this now renamed All of Us program, we just had some news, May 3rd, 2017. The All of Us program director, Eric Dishman, is now seeking to expand precision medicine to all Americans. You knew it was coming. And remember, as we're having this quote-unquote crisis in healthcare, you know, get rid of Obamacare, let's bring in Trump care. Oh, no, pre-existing conditions, it's too expensive, I can't have health insurance. Well, we got to find a way to provide health care to all Americans without breaking the pocketbook. Well, I am going to bet my bottom dollar it is going to be the 21st century cures and precision medicine and Dr. Smartphone that is going to take the place of all of our failed national health care. Eric Dishman, the director of the All of Us program, was diagnosed with a rare type of kidney cancer, and he went through rounds and rounds of treatment over the course of more than 20 years before his genomes and the genes of his cancer were mapped in an effort to personalize his treatment. So he's a great spokesman for the Precision Medicine Initiative, another initiative coming out of the White House. After the gene maps were completed, Dishman's physicians learned that he had been undergoing treatments that were unlikely to have benefited him. And he told the audience at the Personalized Medicine Coalition annual State of Personalized Medicine luncheon back a few Tuesdays ago, finally, shortly after that analysis of his genome, it pointed him toward a clinical trial and a kidney transplant, and he was declared cancer-free. Now, again, I don't think that any of this technology on its own is bad. Who wouldn't want to find out what the exact genetic makeup of a cancer that is eating you whole is all about, that might give them some ideas on how to flip a few switches or do a few things to turn it off? But on the other hand, by giving up that data, you're being put into the database. By being put into the database, you have things such as IBM's Watson and 23andMe that are coming up with treatments, yes, drugs or different cancer treatments. Remember, IBM Watson is practicing oncology at 20-plus oncology hospitals. But you're giving up all the chinks in the human armor. You are giving the machine this soon-to-be super intelligent AI, as we were reading about on Tuesday, the ones that these scientists are really afraid about now because they will surpass us in our knowledge and our ability to be in charge eventually. As we are giving up all this data, the machine itself will be able to identify all of the wondrous ways that humans can be taken out. And that is where my concern is. We need to get a handle on the machine itself. You know, and for all the ways that they can discover miraculous ways to cure you, they will also be able to discover miraculous ways to kill you. After experiencing the benefits of precision medicine firsthand, and you know, it comes down to ethics, guys. There are no ethics in the back end. You know, these institutions are about turning us into the guinea pigs that not only make bazillions of dollars, because that's how they're buying all of these scientists, recognition and money and fame and fortune and working for big universities on great projects. That's how they're getting all these smarty pants to come help the machine. But in the end, a lot of it is being financed by the war machine. And that is where the caution lies. So after experiencing the benefits of precision medicine firsthand, Dishman is now the director of the National Institute of Health's Precision Medicine Initiative Cohort Program. We talked about that, now renamed the All of Us Research Program late last year. He says, "I am one of those weird early prototypes of precision medicine," Dishman said in his keynote address. He said he told his wife after the transplant that he had to figure out a way to make what he had access to available to everyone. So put on a seatbelt, people, because it's going to come to a hospital near you. The goal of the program is to scale precision medicine from little pockets of patients to much larger groups and eventually the entire U.S. population. Here it comes. All of Us is in the process of designing digital tools to engage with potential participants, and that would probably be Dr. Smartphone. It is currently engaged with more than 60 partners, mostly provider groups, to find people to join the cohort. But once its mobile app, ding ding, website and phone line are up, all of us will also connect directly with the volunteers that step right up. And remember, they were looking for 1 million people to start with, and now they're going to open it up to all Americans. Step right up. Give us your data. Become a part of the machine. Right now, it's voluntary, but soon it will be the panopticon of the medical industrial complex, and it will be mandatory voluntary. Early testing is likely to begin by the end of the month, says Dishman. And that is of May. And they are planning to include up to 35,000 people in these early efforts. In September, the All of Us team will pause and evaluate the testing phase with an intent to launch this program nationwide in October. As many as 1 million patients will be tracked over 10 years, and data on their health will be collected into a large nationwide cohort database. Having a larger patient data bank can encourage new research, ding, and allow for a greater push for personalized medicine initiatives. It poses a number of challenges on how the healthcare industry functions, so the industry should take a cue and draw up an ecosystem map that allows for better future planning and stakeholders, and they need to get them all involved in the machine. And that means get your electronic medical health records up to date, because here it comes. They're going to push for value-based care, increased data sharing, and they should embrace new business models where healthcare providers, payers, pharmaceutical industries are all working together to integrate more of these elements and to bring it under the precision medicine initiatives. So there you go, guys. It is happening. Precision medicine is about ready to roll out to the whole American public, and they literally just sold us to Big Pharma to be the guinea pig. All right, make sure you stick around. Lonnie Clark is live up next. It is Thursday, so there's all kinds of live radio tonight. We are going to have Ron at 7 p.m., Anti-Media Radio at 10 and 11, and Hal Anthony's show.